Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from April 2017. Ms. Sophie Martha, Material Futurist by Ovation, presents Biodegradability, the Myths and Connections.
So if everybody's ready, I'll get started. So when I was asked to talk about biodegradability here at Performance Days, a lot of questions were coming up that I wasn't actually very comfortable with myself. There's a lot of myths and misunderstandings, really, around the term biodegradability, especially around two of the key projects that I'm working on. So that's really what I'm going to be focusing on today, is kind of connecting the bits that do connect and then trying to demystify the areas where people have got some misunderstandings. So I'm going to start off, we've got the first presentation of the day, so I just want to get you a little bit active with some of the questions that are put to me quite often. So the first one being, biosynthetic polymers are biodegradable. So I just want a show of hands at the start of the presentation. Who thinks that statement is true? Just raise your hand. Biosynthetic polymers are biodegradable. And when I talk about biosynthetic polymers, I'm talking about synthetic polymers that have been derived from bio-based resources, so they're totally renewable. So this is slightly different from what Anna Prahl was talking about yesterday, which she was talking about bio-based fibres, but not necessarily ones that go into synthetic fibres. So who thinks biosynthetic polymers are sometimes biodegradable? Great, we've got a show of hands over here. Anybody else? Any advance on one? No? Okay. So who thinks that statement's false? Okay, we've got one over there. So that actually proves that people need to wake up a little bit. We didn't quite get everybody's hands up. Okay, so going on to the second question then, we're going to talk a little bit about microfiber pollution. And this is a topic that's been increasing in conversation and increasing in activity over the recent period of time. And it's basically where, through the laundering process of our clothes, tiny microfibers are actually washing off and getting into our oceans and into our water systems and creating pollution with regards to our marine life. So a raise of hands for who thinks biosynthetic polymers solve this microfiber issue. Or sometimes? Or false? Okay, a few show of hands there. So hopefully as we go through today, this will become a lot clearer as to whether it's true, false, or sometimes. So as I talk today, I just quickly want to go through what I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to do a very quick 101 on biodegradability. So this is really kind of entry level for some really good conversations and presentations that will be coming up throughout the day. So I do encourage you to come back to other presentations later to find out more. Then I'm going to be talking about these two projects, biosynthetic fibers and microfiber pollution. And I'm actually working on both of those at the moment in two different projects. Just briefly to give you some insight as to what's happening. On the biosynthetic fibers, I represent the textile exchange and have a working group that goes across the textile and apparel industry. And we're talking about how we can get biosynthetic fibers into kind of mainstream use. So there's a working group that we have, and also later on this year there'll be a open source microsite that will enable us to get a level setting of communication and some entry level information around biosynthetics. So watch out for that, because I think it's going to be a really useful resource for all of you. And then the microfiber pollution work, what I'm doing is I'm working with Leeds University at the kind of ground level on this subject. So we're looking at polymers, fibers, and yarns, and looking at what are the triggers and what are the things that actually start to contribute to garments shedding fibers during consumer wash and wear. Okay, and then we'll have some time for question and answer at the end. So to start with, I'm sure you've heard this once or twice already in the last day or so, biodegradable, what does it actually mean? A material is defined as biodegradable if it's able to be broken down into simple substances by naturally occurring decomposers. So essentially anything that can be ingested by an organism, and the key thing here is without causing harm to that organism, okay? And you'll be hearing more and more about this. So how does that actually happen? So what I've done here is taken an example of a plastic bottle. You can see on the left-hand side. So there's basically three parts to this process. The first being fragmentation, and that is always the first step in biodegradability. And that's where the plastic or the fiber is actually broken down into microscopic fragments. And that can be through mechanical, through chemical, it can be something like UV, but it's basically starting to break down that plastic. The second stage is biodegradation. And that's where complete microbial assimilation of those fragmented materials become a food source from those microorganisms. And then the third part, which is only possible once the fragmentation and the biodegradability has happened, is composting. And that's where you get a complete assimilation. So the plastics are completely taken up by that organism, but it has to be done within a set number of days, okay? And there's some really good resources in the forum here, so if you haven't seen them yet, I do encourage you to go to the area here, and you've got information about all of that there as well that can help you on this. So the first kind of misunderstanding that I get asked a lot of questions around is, you know, compostability, biodegradability, are they the same thing, are they different? And I think the really simple way to say it is compostable always means that something is biodegradable. But biodegradable doesn't always mean that something is compostable. Okay, so if you go back to the previous slide, you can see why, because it's this three-part process. Okay. So when we look at biodegradability and we look at the pros and we look at the cons, I think it's really important to, you know, create in our own minds where we think the positives and the negatives are of this. So as far as I'm concerned, when you're looking at the pros, you know, circular economy has a huge part in this, and it's a huge asset to the circular economy. As an example here, Puma launched the InCycle range in 2013, and it was based off the cradle-to-cradle design process. And they had two processes within that, one which was a technical process that was taking synthetic fibers through a circular approach. But the example I've put here on the left-hand side is the biological process, which really looks at taking natural fibers or biodegradable fibers through that circle and back to that kind of composted element that we spoke about before. So the end purpose of that biological process is actually get to compost at the end of use, okay? When we look at the cons though, when we look at the negative sides of biodegradability, we can have a fantastic fabric that totally biodegrades or composts, but unless we have an infrastructure to put that fabric within, there's no real benefit of it. So this is where the whole industry and our supporting industries really have to align and come together. The image on the right-hand side is a snapshot of what's happening country by country within Europe. And it's the composting rates per country. The darker pink colours indicate countries that have higher composting rates, and obviously the lighter the colour gets, lower composting rates. And you can get similar information globally looking at the US and all sorts of different countries. But really what I wanted to say here is not every single country has that industrial composting facility set up to enable fabrics to be taken back and composted as we would like. So I think that at the moment is kind of a downside of biodegradability, is, you know, unless we can encourage you know, our knock-on industries to come up to speed at the same level that we are, then it's going to be very difficult for the consumer to take that back. It's not always a case of purely putting a fabric into landfill and expecting it to compost in landfill, because landfill sites are not set up with the right temperatures, right environments to actually enable that fabric to break down. And then also the other thing to think about is sometimes it makes more sense to have a fabric that has a higher value to take it through a recycling process and not necessarily a composting process. So So when we look at testing and certification, again, I would encourage you to go and have a look at the boards within the forum, because there's a lot of really good information there. But just as a snapshot, I wanted to look at the parameters. So what things are we actually testing for when we say that a fabric is tested, to see whether it can be composted? So there's basically four key elements that we're looking at. We're looking at the material characteristics. So what goes into that material, but not just the material, but the kind of the chemicals, all the, you know, added things that need to go in to make that fabric perform to the characteristics that you need. We also determine the biodegradability of that fabric and also the compostability of it. And then we look at the ecotoxicity of the compost once that has been degraded. Okay, so it's really important that when we're putting something back into the ground, we're actually putting something in that gives nutrients back to the ground as well. I've put a couple of examples there of testing standards that are used, but you'll see that for different fabrics, there's slightly different test methods that are actually used, and I'd encourage you to work with your suppliers to make sure that the testing methods that you use are actually correct for those materials. Okay, so going back to the questions from the start, biosynthetic polymers, are they biodegradable? True, sometimes, or false? So what I want to say here is, for those that put their hand up for sometimes, that is the correct answer, because it's not a one case fits all. So if you look at this slide here, I want to really compare and contrast different fibre types. So we've got natural fibres, petroleum-based synthetics, and bio-based synthetics. And they all have their own kind of weirdities. They have their own things that are slightly different, and it doesn't always conform to what people are expecting. So natural fibres, not all natural fibres are biodegradable, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. But also, you would expect petroleum-based fabrics not to be biodegradable. And as you can see from some of the exhibits and examples at the show here, that there are some petro-based synthetics that are biodegradable. And then when you think of biosynthetics, you think of a polymer or a fiber that can actually biodegrade, but not all of them are actually biodegradable. So this is what I mean about, you can't create these generalizations about natural fibers always being biodegradable or biosynthetics always being biodegradable. It's very much a case-by-case situation. And why is that? So if we think about biosynthetics, there are many reasons, or there's many parts of the process that will make it possible to biodegrade or not. So the sorts of things that we're looking at and the questions that we need to be asking our suppliers is, what is the feedstock, or what is the raw material that goes into making that polymer? What percentage of that polymer is made up of bio-based resources? And what processing methodology? So how is it actually processed? And it's a combination of all of those three elements that enable that fiber or that fabric at the end to have the ability to compost or not. So if we think of end-of-use options, on the left-hand side we have composting, we have an option that we can recycle, or it can go to landfill. And depending on those three elements of the raw material used, the percentage of bio, or the processing methodology, will determine whether that fiber is compostable, recyclable, or goes into landfill. Okay? Just as a general rule of thumb. So it is a misconception that all biosynthetic fibres are compostable. And sometimes it could be that biosynthetics, the preferred option would be to actually recycle them to keep the value of that raw material going. So if we go into that in a little bit more detail, when I said that not all natural fibres are biodegradable, what we've got to think about is we've got to think about the totality of that product. So this cotton jacket that I'm wearing here today, I don't know if this is 100% biodegradable, because I don't know what's gone into the sewing threads, what's gone into the back neck label, and all the different processing components that go into making that product. And we have to make sure that when this goes to be composted, that it actually all of it breaks down. The other thing to think about is leather, and leather has to go through a tanning process to actually make that leather more durable. So the boots I'm wearing today, you know, walking in the rain and the snow, you know, they need to be durable for consumer use, but that means that they don't necessarily break down as you would expect. Okay, so just a couple of things to think about there. The other thing I wanted to bring up is I've been recently reading a good paper by Cornell University that looked at the compare and contrast of three different cotton situations against one polyester. And what they were looking at is they were looking at cotton jersey fabrics and how easy they were to compost compared to polyester. And what was interesting, they looked at samples with softeners on, they looked at samples with resins on, and then ones that had no process treatment on at all against the polyester. And it was really interesting, of those three cotton scenarios that they had, those three cotton fibers actually broke down in very different ways. So again, it's not a case that naturally all natural fibers break down the same way. So a lot of it depends on the processing options that you put on those later on. Then if we move on to petroleum-based synthetics, as I said before, some of them are actually biodegradable. This image here was taken from the H&M Change Awards, and I know Anna spoke about one of the awards yesterday as well. This one from 2016 was called the Polyester Digester, and it was about certain microbes that we use to actually break down polyester. Now, we're seeing that in polyester, we're also seeing it with nylon. And basically, they're using the bacteria to actually to consume the polyester and the nylon, so we're reducing the kind of waste issue and the amount of fabrics that have to go to landfill. There's also some examples here at the show. Pontetorto has got a bio-based nylon that I encourage you to have a look at, and V&A Japan also have a biodegradable PET as well. So there's options. There's not a huge number of options, but there are options where petroleum-based synthetics do also biodegrade. And then if we look at bio-based synthetics, we already said that there's basically three elements that contribute towards whether that fibre is going to break down or not in composting facilities. What I've done here down the left-hand side, I've taken a selection of the most commonly used bio-based synthetics. So we've got bio-based PET at the top. We've got partially bio-based PTT. We've got totally bio-based PA11, so the bio-based nylon. And then we've got polylactic acid, PLA, at the bottom. So they're generally the bio-based synthetics that you're seeing commercially or semi-commercially around in the market at the moment. If we take the first one, the bio-based PET, that one is actually the end-of-use option there would be to recycle it, but it has to be recycled within the same polymer type. At the moment, we can see that commercially in partial, so a part percent bio, and the 100% bio-based option is in scale-up mode at the moment, so we hope to see that coming through commercially very soon. The partially bio-based PTT is also commercial, using starch sugar as a feedstock, and that's also recyclable, but again, it needs to be recycled within a PTT recycling system. The PA11, the bio-based nylon, is not actually biodegradable, and it's not recyclable. So the end-of-use options for that would actually be for landfill. And then if we look at the PLA, which is 100% commercial at the moment, using 100% bio-based resources, again using a sugar and starch feedstock, the end-of-use option for that is compost, for composting. And if you look at the criteria for the PLA, they're generally breaking down in compost facilities between 47 and 90 days. Okay? And just to give you an idea of what's happening on the market and kind of where we're seeing this coming through in product, The image on the left is from Howie's, where they've got their Cadence jersey, which I think you'll see out at market at the moment, using Sirona from DuPont, blended with a Merino. In the middle, the image of the green t-shirt is in a scale-up mode, and it's a combination of it's a combination of chemistry from Virent and Far Eastern. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. And then on the right-hand side, you've got the Futurecraft shoe from Adidas, which is using BioSteel upper. And that's basically a simulated spider silk that has gone into this. And this is a totally biodegradable upper. So when we talk about biosynthetics, you know, how does this happen? You know, how does it work? So I wanted to give you a very basic kind of snapshot of how we get it to work. And this is an image from Virent, and it's representing the bio-based PET only. So this doesn't represent all bio-based synthetics, but just basically the bio-based PET. If we look at the first line across the top, that is our feed source or our feedstock or raw material. So it can be a number of different things. So we're not relying just on one raw material. So you can use biomass sugars, sugar canes, corn sugars, etc. So you're looking at a starch or a sugar as your starting raw material. You then take it down to the next level, which is your chemistry level. So you're using that bio-based resource to put it into a chemistry. So for polyester, we need the TPA and we need the EG. And in this case, we've got the bioparaxylene from Virent on the left-hand side. And we've got the bio-based EG from Far Eastern on the right-hand side. And it's those two chemistries that come together that we need to create the polymers. Okay. And then at the bottom there, as I say, you've got those two polymers coming together to create either a 100% bio-based polymer or a partially bio-based polymer. Okay. So if we look at the pros and cons of biosynthetics, if we start with the plus side, really what is exciting for me is that the resource is totally renewable. So we're not basing it on a finite resource like we are when we're looking at petroleum-based synthetics. So this reduces our risk longer term with regards to price instability and supply and demand of petroleum-based products. Also, it contributes to mitigating climate change. So where fossil fuels are accelerating global warming, as we start to use more and more biosynthetics, we're actually starting to mitigate that by utilizing carbon dioxide within the growing phase of the raw materials. So again, something that's really exciting when we look at the much bigger picture and longer term, what we need to be doing to be responsible as we actually manufacture clothing and products. But on the negative side, or I wouldn't say it's necessarily negative, but perhaps not as positive, we're working with an emerging portfolio of solutions. So there are a lot of things out there, but when we compare it to a lot of the other fibres that we see at the show here, they're not as they haven't got so much history behind them, and we don't have so much that's commercially available. So some solutions are more commercial than others, and some of them are relatively new, and we're seeing new ones coming on board all the time. So it's really an exciting time to really engage with the suppliers, understand what's happening, and support those fibres as we start to grow their commercial capacities. The other thing that I find is a little bit difficult at the moment is where we're used to relying on certification and metrics with a lot of the more established sustainable fibres, we don't necessarily have the same portfolio of information when we talk about biosynthetics. I'm working with some people at the moment to try and get a much broader spectrum of life cycle analysis data and metrics, and that will enable us to make more substantiated statements and comments around the benefits of biosynthetics. But at the moment, we're working on quite a small pool of information. So, you know, that will happen. We'll get more and more information there. But at the moment, we're still at quite an entry level compared to, say, recycled polyester or some of the other sustainable solutions. Okay, so switching gears slightly, we've talked about biosynthetics, and now I want to talk a little bit about microfiber pollution. So as I said at the beginning, this is where, as we wash our clothes, so it's not necessarily during the manufacturing stage, but the work that I'm doing is specifically about the in-consumer use, so during laundering, as we wash our clothes, as the tiny fragments of fibers are actually washing off and into the marine environments. So again, who thinks that statement is true? Sometimes, or false? We can't say at this stage that using biosynthetic polymers solves the microfiber pollution issue. And hopefully from some of the previous slides, you'll start to understand a little bit more around the reasons why. Not all biosynthetic fibers are biodegradable, and we don't necessarily know what they do when they get to a marine environment. So I would say that that statement is false. So if we look a little bit more around the definitions of this, microfibers as a subsection of microplastics, there is synthetic fiber finer than one denier per filament that are either engineered specifically to be microfibers or produced through degradation. So again, there's some misconceptions here and some misunderstandings. A lot of people think that this problem is just around microfiber fabrics, which there's a lot of microfibers here at the show. But it's not the case. We don't necessarily need to start with a microfiber fabric to have this issue. We can use any sort of synthetic fabric, but as that fabric starts to break down, it's the size of the particle or the size of the polyester or the synthetic that comes off that then becomes microfiber scale. Okay, so just to really kind of help people understand that. What I would have loved to have done today is actually put up a slide here that had a lot of apparel product on it that shows the solutions that we already have. This work is still, I would say, very much in its infancy. I can't put up on the screen today a selection of branded product that shows what we're doing. But what I can talk about is some of the solutions and then a little bit about the work that we're doing. So hopefully next time I stand up here and talk about this, we can actually show what the product looks like. So what I would say is at the laundering level, so the washing machines and the gadgetry that goes into the washing machines, there's product out there that's a little bit ahead of what we're doing at the actual product level. So there's the two images on the left-hand side have both been funded through Kickstarter campaigns and have been very successful. And they're both things that you actually put into the washing machine, put your product in with them, and they capture the fibers. So when you've finished your washing, you can actually take those gadgets out of the washing machine, responsibly remove the fibers, dispose of them carefully, not throw them down the toilet or anything. And then that takes a certain amount of the fibers out, so it's not going through the wastewater streams. The Cora Ball, if anybody's been watching the development of this, the Kickstarter campaign came out a couple of weeks ago, just to give you a kind of level of how many people are interested in this. The Kickstarter campaign came out. They were looking to raise $10,000. They reached that target within 3 hours. Within a couple of days, that campaign had got to over $200,000. So you can see the level of interest that people have. I will add a caveat to this, though, is the Cora Ball claims to collect around 30% of the fibers from the washing. So it's not 100%. So this is a capture method. And what we need to be doing is, as an industry, saying capture is great, but we need to prevent 100% of this happening. Okay? So I think when we move from capturing to prevention, then we really have to look at textile engineering. We have to look at how we create our polymers, our fibers, our yarns, and our fabrics. Because when we truly understand how we engineer our fabrics, then we can actually start to prevent this from happening. And my belief is that, you know, in 6 months, 9 months, a couple of years' time, we will have a portfolio of solutions that will include things that go in the washing machine, but will also include things that happen at the textile engineering level. And it's people that are sitting in the audience here, it's the suppliers that you have around you here that will enable that to happen. So if you haven't already spoken to the suppliers while you've been here, I would ask all of them what they're doing to help with this issue. So that's my call to action to you guys today. Okay, so what are we actually doing? There are a number of brands and retailers that are working on this to actually start to look at ways that we can create product to prevent this from happening. The work that I'm doing is actually with Leeds University in the UK, and we're starting really at the ground roots level. We're looking at different nylon and polyester yarns, fibers, and polymers, and we're starting to put them under different aging conditions and looking at what the triggers are that start to create those polymers to break down and that could potentially contribute to this issue of the shedding during the laundering. There's also a lot of work going on in the industry that is looking specifically at the textiles and the garments. And they're taking those textiles and the garments into wash facilities and analyzing them to see how much fiber, the different fabric structures, different makeups of fabrics, how much fiber loss they're actually getting. What we will do is we'll then start to correlate those two areas of work and start to be able to build a story from the polymer level all the way up to the garment level to start to look at what part of the process we're actually finding this issue to happen most. And just to give you some insights at the moment, this is science, and I think, you know, the science part of it is really exciting because you don't always get the results that you expect. So at the moment, we're at the stage where we're looking at things very closely in the lab and really starting to understand. But in the early stages, it tends to pose more questions than it does answers. So I'd say watch this space to find out more on that work. So when we look at the different fibres again, if we look at natural fibres, petroleum-based synthetics and bio-based synthetics, you know, some myths and connections around, you know, how they work with regards to this microfibre shedding issue. So we've already said that natural fibres, you know, depending on what goes into them, they're either biodegradable or they're not biodegradable. And I think we know that temperature, light, and either oxygen or no oxygen is actually needed to support that biodegradation. But this kind of poses some extra questions to me is, you know, what does the growing natural fibres non-organically actually mean to biodegradation in marine environments? And things like, you know, do marine environments provide the optimal conditions for biodegradability? You know, we're talking about very cold, very dark environments. You know, so again, the sorts of questions that we should be kind of bringing up. And then petro and bio-based synthetics. You know, how does the processing chemistry affect biodegradation in marine environments? And also, do those microfibers act as chemical carriers for biodegradation? Okay. So unfortunately, I can't stand up here today and give you all the answers that perhaps you're wanting. But I think if we can all start to ask these questions and other questions to ourselves, to our organizations, and to the supply chain partners that we're working with, then we'll start to get to an answer. I wanted to put up this quote that I took from the Guardian newspaper because it really supports what I'm thinking, you know, around how do these fibers actually work within a marine environment? You know, is one fiber going to be better than another? A lot of plastics are labeled as biodegradable, and she's used the example here of shopping bags, but they'll only break down under temperatures of 50 degrees, and that is not our ocean. They're also buoyant, so they're not going to sink, and they're not going to be exposed to the UV rays that we know supports the biodegradation or the fragmentation before biodegradation. So there's a lot of things that we need to be asking around, you know, our fibers as they go into the marine environment and whether they're actually going to break down in the sea. Now, I've never actually personally worked with this testing standard, but it's one that is specific for biodegradation in marine environments. And it looks at raw materials, components, or finished products. And it checks to see whether those fabrics or fibers that you're using would actually break down in a marine environment. But I just wanted to stress there, it doesn't actually address any kind of pollution or prevention of pollutions into the ocean as well. And I know that this one's also included in the forum here as well. Okay, so I would say that, you know, there's a lot of people that are jumping to assumptions and saying, oh, I'm using natural fiber, so therefore it's okay and it's not contributing to the microfiber pollution issue in the oceans. But what I would say is if you are going to make strong and bold statements such as that, just make sure that you're substantiating it with the relevant testing, that you do know quite confidently that you are not going to have a detrimental effect. Because at the moment, these conversations, there's some of them that are really snowballing out of control and people are getting quite carried away. And I would just really ask you to be careful and substantiate through testing and certification where your statements are coming from. Okay, so to wrap this up in conclusion, biodegradability gives us some interesting potential for selected fibers, fabrics, and products. But what I would say is design for biodegradability is actually very essential to success. It's not just a clear case of getting a fabric that your supplier tells you is biodegradable, putting it into a product and saying, great, my job's done and it's biodegradable. But really think about, you know, how that product is brought together, how it's stitched, the components that go into it. So think about the whole product. There's a lot of misconceptions, there's a lot of misunderstandings of exactly what is biodegradable and also what the benefits are of biodegradable. So again, I'd ask you to think carefully about this and really formulate a clear response to this within your companies. And there's a lot of assumptions being made. And as I said, you know, a few minutes ago, a lot of those assumptions need to be clearly substantiated by certification and testing, just to make sure that what you're saying is clearly true. And then to wrap it up, as the questions that I posed at the beginning, not all biosynthetic fabrics are biodegradable. And biosynthetics do not necessarily hold the answer for the microfiber shedding issue. Okay, so I would encourage any questions, comments, feedback. So it's over to you guys. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.com. Copyright April 2017 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.